Today starts season 9 of Becoming Heartstrong, and this concludes a 3-year journey that we have been reading and teaching through the whole of the Bible. In a few weeks, I'm going to share the whisper that we're chasing and where we're going next. But for this season, it's going to be pivotal in our lives because every single one of us are beginning to feel cultural pressure. Now, depending on your age and your stage of life, you are feeling cultural pressure that is opposite the way of Jesus pushing in on us. And this season is going to speak directly to men and women who've experienced this in ways that are much, much greater than we're experiencing and how they engaged it. And our first, his name is Daniel. Daniel lived in Judah. He knows what it is to have been overcome, defeated by Babylon. He is carried away into captivity. But if you look at the whole of his life, he also watched Persia overthrow Babylon. How many of you know that life is unpredictable? It really is unpredictable. You can think a season is never going to change, and then it changed. How many of you are happy? Spring has sprung. Winter is over in Jesus' name. Spring has sprung. I don't know why you're clapping. I have no authority to declare that. I'm just saying what maybe you want to hear. Now, I want you to take your eyeballs at every one of our campuses, and I want you to look at someone around you, in front of you, just trying to find someone's eyeballs. Look right at them, and I want you to say these words to them. Jesus is in you. You got this. Okay, let's dig in. And so he lives in Babylon. He's captive in Babylon. The book uses this really interesting word called the phrase of the Gentiles, or the times of the Gentiles. And it's an interesting one. Jesus also used this phrase. And I just want you to know what it means. Just a bit of background as we dig into the book of Daniel. The time of the Gentiles signifies the beginning of the Babylonian era until the return of Christ. So that's a really, really long period of time. The heart of the book of Daniel is that you and I would have hope in God, especially when life is hard. Has anyone here in your life ever gone through a hard season? Okay. Hope in God, especially when life is hard. And life has become profoundly difficult for Daniel and his friends, and that's precisely where we start. And I want to start with a quote from W.C. Fields, who said this. He said, "It ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to." It ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to. All of us in our lives are called good things and not so good things. All of us in our lives have labels applied to us. Sometimes where we stand on something invites feedback from the world. This touches our hearts and touches our lives. It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. That is incredibly important. And so Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 2 says, "In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar," or as they say in Life Kids, King Nebi, "of Babylon, he came to Jerusalem and he laid siege to it. The Lord handed," everyone say, "the Lord handed." So this is Daniel introducing the story. God's not doing, he's trying to tell you in the midst of life when it's really, really hard, God is present. "The Lord handed King Jehoiakim of Judah over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God." These are precious things that should have remained in the tabernacle. "Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon, to the house of his God, and put the vessels in the treasury of his God." And so in the beginning verses of Daniel's story, he wants all of us to see that when life is hard, the Lord is present. He also introduces this story both as a geographic struggle between Judah and Babylon. It's a kind of a war between two countries that he gets overthrown. But he also wants you to see there's a spiritual reality, not just a geographic battle taking place. And that's why he ties into something that we have said here before. Every single one of us are personally influenced by other people. Now, you're not influenced by everybody, but there are certain people in your life that have influence. Here's what I would say. If you do not have a list of people that you know by name who have influence over your life, you're missing out and you're living blind. It's very critical in different seasons of your life to know and to be honest with who has influence over my life. Who, when they speak, their words are a little bit more sticky than somebody else. Do you know? Do you know who they are? It's very important that you do. Because all of us are personally influenced by others, but then people create this stuff called culture. And culture, once it's created, once culture is established, it influences. Has anybody here ever been anywhere that required customer service? At all of our locations, can I see your hands, please? And as you're standing there receiving the worst customer service that you've ever experienced, you look up and on the wall is a customer service mission statement. And you read it on the wall, and then you look at the one who is, you don't judge them because you're a follower of Jesus, you pray for them, but there's a disconnect. Culture eats vision all the time. And the world in which you and I live is filled with culture. We create it, and it influences. In each of our ethnicities, culture can even become tradition. And when culture becomes tradition, you hear it, this is who we are. It becomes identity. This is how deep this goes. And so understanding this to be true, King Nebuchadnezzar, his plan wasn't just to conquer Judah, but to change its God-defined culture to the Babylonian one. And to do this, he desires to influence Judah's next generation leaders. How many of you know that that's happening in our world today? If you can influence the leaders, if you can change the leaders, you can change the direction of a nation. And King Nebuchadnezzar knows it. He desires to influence Judah's next generation leaders in the hope that they would in turn then use their influence to lead others from Judah away from God's purposes by identifying with Babylon and its gods. And here's what it says. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, it says, the king ordered Ashpenazah, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from nobility. Just think about the top influencers of his time. Young men without any physical defect, good looking, turn the person beside you and say, you look pretty good yourself. And at all of our Life Center locations, if that's someone that you're single and you want to get to know, there's an opening for you and you are welcome. Without any, I'm not kidding, you're welcome. I want you to find good people in church. Young men without any physical defect, good looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledge, perception, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He was to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal fruit and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years. Everyone say 3 years. It's a good amount of time to get a degree or a diploma, 3 years. Jesus spent how many years with his disciples? Period of formation, period of discipleship. And at the end of that time, they were to attend the king. Excuse me? Now you know the end goal. Why is King Nebuchadnezzar doing all of this? So that they would attend him, not Yahweh. This is not just geographic, it's spiritual. Among them from the Judites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the chief eunuch gave them names. W.C. Fields, it ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to. Belshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. Now, influencing them didn't come or include bad things. How many of you know that you can be lured from God by good things too, not just bad things? Good things that become ultimate are idols. They're bad things. And so influencing them included our education, it included art, it included food, it included drink, and it included privilege. All for the purpose of serving, again, Babylon's king, not Yahweh. Not honoring the Torah, honoring a different way of life. As I've mentioned a couple times, now recall W.C. Fields' quote from a moment ago, because when we read their Hebrew names and what those names meant, what Yahweh's purpose over these four individuals, these four influencers, these four leaders' lives, what God had for their lives was embedded into their names. And what Babylon calls them, I want you just to see if you can notice the difference. And once again, it's not what people call you, it's what you answer to that really matters. Daniel meant, and Daniel means, God is my judge. In other words, there's nobody higher than him, not even King Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar, which is his new Babylonian name, means lady protect the king. They attack his gender and they reassign. King Nebuchadnezzar reassigned his allegiances to the king, not Yahweh. It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to that really matters. Hananiah's name means that God has been gracious, Yahweh has been gracious, and Shadrach means I am fearful of God. As Sandra was sharing her story, there are many voices in the world today that want to make you fear God rather than running to God. This is what he's called every single day. Yahweh has been gracious. Now, every time he hears his name, it's being spoken over him. You are fearful of God. You are fearful of God. You are fearful of God. Mishael means who can compare to my God? No one. I love the no one at the end. Listen to what they're doing for Meshach. Meshach means I am despised, contemptible, and humiliated. Azariah means Yahweh has helped. Abednego means that you are the servant of Nebo. You are the God of scribing. In other words, you remember everything and write this down. How many of you have ever had stuff spoken over you and it shakes right off like Miss Taylor Swift sings? But how many of you have ever had things even just whispered to you and somehow it's stuck? Like, there are some of you here today that are still battling with somebody who said something to you in grade four. Like, it's somewhere that you learned, I'm not smart. Says who? I mean, if you ask me, every test I've written. But no, it depends how you define smart. Sometimes nicknames and the things that we're called are really harmless. You know, sometimes they're harmless. They mean nothing. But other times darkness attaches themselves to those names. Sometimes darkness attaches itself to the things that we're called in an effort to destroy God's purpose over your story. If you are in Christ, there is nothing that the enemy can do to touch your salvation. And everyone said, but don't you dare think that he won't try to destroy your purpose. If he can just get you saved and only thinking about heaven, then you will spend the rest of your life not thinking about God. How do you want to use my life to bring more heaven on earth? Yep. It's a very big distinction. Here's what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4-5. I want to go back here. This is where we were in January as a church. And I want to remind you of this in the midst of this story of Daniel. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. This pulls back to the Psalms. I set you apart before you were born. Now this applies exclusively to Jeremiah, where he says, I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's Jeremiah's story. But that God chose him and that God set him apart, that's not unique to Jeremiah. Here's what I want you to know. To God, there is no single person that is an afterthought. There is no single person that is an afterthought. You may have been forgotten by a lot of other people in this world. I want to say, and I pray that you hear, not just with your ears, but with your spirit, you are not an afterthought to God. There is nobody in the sound of my voice that is an afterthought to God. Every single one of us are created in the image and likeness of God, regardless of our abilities or our inabilities, regardless of our intellect or our income. Every single one of us have inherent dignity, value, and worth because we are created in the image and the likeness of God. You were created on purpose and for purpose. In Christ, you were forgiven not just to be forgiven, that's a wonderful thing, but you were forgiven to have fellowship with God on a daily basis. to remind, so that the Lord can remind you who he is and how he may desire to use your life. And here's what I want you to know. Your assignment in life can change in different stages of your life, but your purpose never does. You never retire from being an ambassador for Christ. Ever. It never changes. And you're never too young to be an ambassador for Christ. There are amazing ambassadors for Jesus in K4 right now. There really are. No one to God is an afterthought. We are in Christ, we're forgiven and we have fellowship with God. We move from darkness to light, but this doesn't mean that darkness doesn't tempt. It doesn't mean that darkness won't contest who God has called you to be or how God may in this season or the season ahead want to use your life to bring transformation to culture, to create new culture, to live in a countercultural way that declares to everyone around you, sometimes with words and sometimes very quietly, but powerfully in your story, there is a God that is greater than all of these gods. There is a God that is greater than all of these gods. You're not my provider, Yahweh is. You're not my deliverer, Yahweh is. I don't live in fear of you. I live in awe of a one who is greater. There's a way in which you live that testifies to a lost and broken world that you may think you've won, but there is one who always reigns, and I am his ambassador, not yours. We live in the world, but we're not called to be of it. But every single day, darkness wants to move you from being secure in Christ to insecure in yourself. Wants to move us from being accepted by God to rejecting that God is who he says he is. Because that shapes us. That influences us. That influences us. Darkness wants us to be not live free from condemnation, but drowning in it so that we are full of contempt for God, because this is soul-crushing stuff. And this is the environment that Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, every single day, their very names are meant as an insult. Not to them alone, but to who God has created them to be. And every day they're called these things. Once again, Babylon has conquered Judah. And Babylon isn't content just to geographically take over Judah. They now want to destroy their God-given identity by calling them names that suited Babylon's purposes while simultaneously dishonoring who God has purposed them to be. I just want you to see at the outset of the book, yes, it's geographic, but it's also spiritual. But greater than Babylon, I want to pull it to the New Testament, because here's what Jesus said. Jesus desires me and he desires you, us, his followers, his disciples, to understand how darkness works. Aren't you glad that Jesus spoke about how darkness works so that you and I can see how it is at work in our stories and in our world? I want to read a well-known verse and I want to highlight four words. And as I do, I want you to ask yourself this one question. It's a powerful question. Do you trust that Jesus is telling you only the truth here? He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus speaks only truth, and Satan speaks only lies. Do you trust that Jesus is telling you the truth? I really want you to think about it, because I promise you, there's an area in your life that needs to come under the kingship of Jesus today. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. A thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy in Aramaic. Four words. Here's what I just asked you. Do you trust that Jesus is telling you only the truth here? Then I want you to see this word. Now, often when this is read, here's the three words that come out. Steal, kill, and destroy. And it makes sense because they're really, really important words. And we're gonna talk about them really quick. But you know the words that you really should focus on? Only. And do you trust that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that darkness is only in your life for a singular purpose? to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. It's not there to have fun. It's not there to entertain you. It's not there to give you purpose. It's not there to make you feel good. It's not there to make you accepted. It's not there just to make you popular. It's only there to do one of three things, and they are progressive: steal, kill, and destroy. The only reason darkness is present is to do these three things. Do you believe that? Here's what it's true about my life. I believe that wholeheartedly in some areas, and in other areas, I am foolish because I entertain that I can handle darkness. You and I and ourselves can't handle darkness. In Christ, He handles darkness for us. Only a greater power can push out unholy power, not my power. Hold that. We're going to come back to that. So only is singular. Do you believe what Jesus said is true? Do you believe it? Steal means to remove stealthily. You know what steal means? The enemy in darkness is present in our lives to change you without you noticing. Are you becoming more angry? Are you becoming more agitated? Are you growing in the fruit of the Spirit or in the works of the flesh? Think about it. Kill is to slaughter for food. You know, the analogy here that Jesus is saying is the enemy just wants you to begin to feed on things that amplify your flesh, not your spirit. The other day I was scrolling on the TikToks, I'm not on TikTok too. Goodness gracious, I'm 52 years old. No judgment if you are, but no judgment if you are. Maybe a little bit. But I was on the Instagram Reels and I was scrolling because I do love the Diet Coke memes. Right? And every time I post it, someone says, that's not good for you. But once again, it brings me joy, and joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you lose. So you're not going to change me. I didn't ask for your help. However, when I'm scrolling on those, I was scrolling and it was like scrolling, ha ha. And then it was an inappropriate thing. And I was like, get out of here. Scrolling, ha ha. And I paused in the midst of doing that. And I said this in my little heart and head out loud. Why am I entertaining darkness? Okay, just me. Destroy is to make void. Better said, to make you lost. So what is King Babylon in the Old Testament as an archetype? What is King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, I should say? What is he trying to do to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He's trying to cause them to lose their identity in Yahweh by giving him the best of the Babylonian kingdom to allure them away from Torah and from Yahweh. In the natural, Babylon wasn't content to conquer Judah's territory, as extending its kingdom included invoking its gods as greater than Yahweh. And to do this, you can, if you look at the book of Daniel, you can see this only steal, kill, and destroy pattern become visible. Now, this isn't rocket science, but to steal, a thief first needs something called access. How many of you have been online when they're doing those quizzes where they're like, hey, like, where were you born? What's your favorite color? What's your social insurance number? Do you know what those quizzes are designed? They're trying to figure out what your passwords are. Why? Because for them to steal what they want to steal, they need access. Right? How many remember a couple of years ago, those face apps that went around like, I want to look at myself like 50 years in the future, right? And now we just gave them iterations of all of our faces that they have on all these bots. Oh, we're a gullible people. And trust me, if you're 15, you don't want to look like, you don't want to know what you want to look like at 52. I look in the mirror sometimes that I walk by and I go, my Lord, what is happening? But then I remember, as soon as I think that, I remember I have the most beautiful woman in the world who loves me and I'm good. She didn't hear what I was saying there. She wasn't paying attention. That's okay though. That's okay. She did. She heard. She heard it in her soul. So my question is, if a thief first needs access, here's my question right now. How does darkness desire to gain access to you? Do you know? Do you know? So wherever there's the genuine from God, the counterfeit is also present, yes? Let me give you an example. God's genuine is prophecy. The enemies is fortune telling, tarot cards, astrology and astronomy. It may be of a predictive nature, but guess what? The only reason it's present is because darkness wants access to your soul. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. We can keep doing this, but I'm going to keep moving on. As Daniel's story unfolds, before we see a lion's den or a fire furnace for his friends, we see individuals, we see culture, and we see influence that are opposite of God's. Now, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can learn from how Daniel saw all of this in his day. Watch. Daniel sees all of it, but in the midst of it, he beholds God. It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to that matters. If you've ever done an airport pickup, you understand what I'm saying. If you've ever been sent to the airport to pick up someone you love, you watch a plane unload and you see everybody, but when you are there picking up someone you love, you behold them. You see them differently than you see everyone else. They're all awesome. They're being beheld by someone, even if it's the Uber driver. Do you know what I'm saying? So you can live in the world and you can see everything in the world, but I'm telling you, church, please don't behold this world. Because what you behold, you're going to become like. And so Daniel sees all of it, but he beholds the Lord. I'm not telling you to be ignorant of the things of this world. I am just saying, don't let them become beholden in your heart. As I'm reading the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1 is all we're in. Before we're into like the really, really good stuff, we're into the good stuff. I love this. Daniel standing for God didn't start with lions. You know what it started with? Lunch. It's what it started with. God is so good and kind and gracious that he will grow you into learning how to stand for him with things that seem insignificant to others but are tied to your purpose that you only discover looking backwards. Daniel, we don't see him on the stage. I mean, if I was writing Daniel's story, I would have forgot all of this and said, let's go to the lion's den. But he starts with lunch. See, here's all you need to know, that all Babylonian food was first offered to Babylonian gods. And here's what it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel determined, he can't determine that he has been taken into captivity. He can't determine what other people call him. But he finds a place where he can make a determined decision. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Daniel determined God, not King Nebi, was his ultimate authority. Now be careful here, because we learn from Daniel, but the Bible is a book about God. Oftentimes when the Old Testament is preached, it can be preached using morality, which if you're naturally courageous, you walk out of here like feeling really, really good. And if you're naturally a little bit more timid, you kind of walk out like, ooh, I'm not as strong as that. Here's all I want you to know. Last Sunday, we declared it. The gospel is we can't, but Jesus can. That doesn't go away after Easter. That's today. Daniel's story is not what Daniel does. Daniel's story is what God does through Daniel, for Daniel, because God is who God says he is. God didn't change when they got taken into Babylon. He reigns, he reigns, he reigns, he reigns. He doesn't change. Who God says Daniel is, what God's purpose for Daniel's life was, didn't change with what Babylon called him. God is, God is, God is. Sometimes we can't, but God can. So again, we learn from Daniel, but the Bible is a book about God. We glean from Daniel's decisions, but we're not preaching morality. If we were, we would be saying today a version of we can or Daniel did. What we do is important, and I've made that very clear today. But greater is seeing what God is doing. This is greater than what we're doing. Our determinations are important, but how many of you know they're not as important as who God is? They are important. See what Jesus says to those of us following him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, see, that's what Sandra just said. Sanctification is the word that she used. This ongoing way of becoming more like Jesus. Our job is to continue in his word. You are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and then the what? The truth will set you free at all of our locations. Yeah. You won't set yourself free. Your job is just to continue to trust that his word is true. And he does the setting free part. And so our responsibility is to determine to continue trusting God's word is true in all of our lives. God's responsibility is that his truth sets us free. The enemy is going to contest this. But in the life of Daniel, he made a precise determination. And here's what it says. In his precise determination, Daniel does what he could do in this moment. And it says, and God gave Daniel. Who gave it to him? It's a story about God, not Daniel. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. So like Daniel, to make a precise determination, we need the Holy Spirit's help, as he knows exactly if and how and where darkness may have currently or desire access in our lives. And this is why we are offering freedom prayer next Sunday. This is why we're doing this. Not to add to your calendar, or trust me, Life Center doesn't need one more thing to do. But you're not just called to be saved. You're called to live free in Christ. And if darkness is impinging on any area of your life, it is one too many. And from love, we care about it. And so a few hours with the Holy Spirit, inviting him, you can make a precise determination. I'm going to be there. But only God can do what God alone can do. And we are believing for Jesus to evict any unholy power that is seeking to form you and your life opposite to whom God has purposed you to be. Cornwall, Kanata, Orleans, or those online. It ain't what they call you. It's what you answer to. And may you determine to answer to nothing less than only God's best for your life. Amen? Amen. Amen.